Hare Krishna.
We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 8, verses 7 to 44. The story of Pingala. Verse 7. Dushtva Striyam Devamayam Tapavai Ajitendriya Perlopita Patatyante Tamasya Gharapatangavat. Translation. One who has failed to control his senses immediately feels attraction upon seeing a woman's form, which is created by the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. Indeed, when the woman speaks with enticing words, smiles coquettishly, and moves her body sensuously, his mind is immediately captured. Thus he falls blindly into the darkness of material existence, just as the moth, maddened by the fire, rushes blindly into its flames. So what do you remember from your last class, the last class? Yes.
If one wants to be a titan, the first requirement is to be satisfied with what one gets.
If one wants to be a titan, the first requirement is you have to be satisfied with what one gets. And I believe you were also practicing that, you said.
But I'm not satisfied.
But you're certainly getting enough. You're not starving. You're not starving. Yes. Okay, not that we should ignore our spiritual activity. We should not be inactive that way. We should be inactive materially. Okay. What else do you remember from the last class? Okay, Lishuka.
Remain peaceful and patient like the ocean.
Remain peaceful and patient like the ocean. Okay, yes. Oh, devotees have a different happiness and distress than materialists do. Yes, Shrivati Siddhanta Saraswati explained that. The devotees are happy when their service is sweet, when they have sweet service, sweetness from their service, and distressed when they don't have service. What else? Yes, Devakaran?
Material attachment causes suffering.
Material attachment causes suffering. Do you have experience of that? Yes. Yes, Vanamali? Okay, we should not see as enjoyable, but as our worshipful object. Yes?
If you keep too much money, Kali enters.
If you keep too much money, Kali will enter. Okay, so now some things we didn't talk about. The fire. What did we learn from the fire? Yes? Accept and give away at the proper time to the proper person. Yes? Sun is reflected in different... Actually, the example was not the saintly person. It was the soul. Not the saintly person. The moon is compared to the soul, which does not change, although the body is changing. Okay, what do we learn from the pigeon? Yes.
Don't be attached to family life.
Make it
material.
Material, yes. Yeah. Okay, so now we have a new object, the moth. The moth goes to the flame as the man goes to the woman. So the purport is, Shishidhar Swami explains in this regard, just as a moth is killed by its attraction to the form of fire, similarly a bee can easily be killed by its blading, its attraction to the fragrance of flowers. So here, it's the bee and fragrance are put together. Furthermore, hunters may trap and kill an elephant by exploiting its sensuous desire to touch a captive female elephant, and may also kill a deer by attracting it with the sounds of their horns. And a fish is killed by its desire to taste the bait on a hook. Thus, one who desires to learn detachment from material illusion should accept these five helpless creatures as guru and learn the needful. Certainly one who is lusty to enjoy illusory form of woman will be quickly buried in material illusion. Of the five types of fatal attraction involving material sense objects, the lesson of rupa or form is illustrated in this verse. So now we are going to hear form and smell and touch and taste, sound, all of these are going to come up. Verse 7. Now we are going to verse 8. A foolish person with no intelligent discrimination, we're still on form, is immediately aroused at the sight of a lusty woman, beautifully decorated with golden ornaments, fine clothing, and other cosmetic features. Being eager for sense gratification, such a fool loses all intelligence and is destroyed, just like the moth who rushes into the blazing fire. Purport, paragraph 2. We're in verse 8, right. I lost a page. Okay. A lusty person becomes blind and foolish through sex indulgence, and his soul is lost in the fire of sense gratification. This whole disaster can be avoided by taking seriously to the process of chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his empowered representatives such as Srila Prabhupada have created a movement to save people from the dungeon of material life, and we should all seriously take advantage of this opportunity. So moths into the fire. It is just like it reminds me of the universal form description in Canto 2, first chapter, where it says about the smile of the illusory, of the universal form is very attractive, but behind the smile, there's the teeth. So you go into this, you get attracted to the smile, then you go in the mouth and get eaten. Eaten. Canto 2, chapter 1, I believe, the universal form description. So the smile is there, it's the most attractive thing, but then behind it are the teeth of the universal form. So here's like the moth into the fire, same idea. So now verse 9, we're going to hear a lot of verses about the bee, in different ways the bee can be your guru. So that was form, the lesson of form, the moth. Now the honeybee. Verse 9, a saintly person should accept only enough food to keep his body and soul together. He should go door to door accepting just a little bit of food from each family. Thus he should practice the occupation of the honeybee. So this is our famous practice of madhukari, named after the bee, madhu. Purport, sometimes the honeybee is attracted by the extraordinary aroma of a particular lotus flower and lingers there, neglecting his usual activity of flying from flower to flower. So this is fragrance, again, it looks like. So the bee is fragrance, aroma, and nose. Unfortunately, at sunset, the lotus flower closes. Thus, the infatuated honeybee is trapped. When I was pujari in Calcutta, we had big, big lotuses in our deity room. Sometimes we'll put one on Krishna's flute, and I would come in, and there's this big bee inside the lotus would fly out as soon as I would come in, big, huge bee. And so they're very attracted to the lotuses. Okay. Similarly, a sannyasi or brahmachari may discover that excellent food is available at a particular house, and therefore, instead of wandering from place to place, he may become a veritable resident of such a well-fed household. So if you're doing madhukari, this is the pitfall. Thus, he will become bewildered by the illusion of family life and fall down from the platform of renunciation. So this madhukari is a lesson for sannyasis and brahmacharis. Also, if a mendicant takes unfair advantage of the Vedic custom of charity and takes too often from a single family, the resentment he causes will disturb the social order. And that's why Prabhupada gave the instruction not to stay more than 3 days at a grihastha's house. For sannyasis. Well, I think it would go for everybody who's a devotee. And also, if you're traveling and preaching, then it's good. Not good to stay too long. And I think Shuti Prabhu was following, or they were following this in South Africa when they first came. They were going family to family, but not staying more than 3 days at a different family. An ideal sage should, like the honeybee, travel from place to place, but he must be careful not to become a chubby bee by going to many houses and eating sumptuously at each house. According to Shibhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, such a chubby bee will undoubtedly become entangled in the network of Maya. Yes. I'm not going to mention any names, but when Prabhupada was here, one of our devotees in our Calcutta temple wanted to take sannyas. And Prabhupada said to him, you should be fit, not fat. So he was, at that time, very chubby. So Prabhupada said, no, you should not take sannyas. So no one should become, now he's sannyas, and he's not fat anymore. But anyway, I mean, he's not one of ours. He's outside sannyasi. No one should be overly attached to the gratification of his tongue, because this will lead to an overstuffed belly and then uncontrollable lust. In conclusion, one should not endeavor very much for material sense gratification, but should instead endeavor strenuously to spread the glories of the Supreme Lord Krishna. This is the proper use of human energy. So from this honeybee and this verse, we learn madhukari, and not to be too attracted to fragrance, according to the purport. Then now verse 10, we learn another lesson from the bee. Just as the honeybee takes nectar from all flowers, big and small, an intelligent human being should take the essence from all religious scriptures. A very interesting lesson. Paragraph 1 of the purport. In human society, the original knowledge is called Veda, and the essential part of Veda or knowledge is Krishna consciousness. Stated in Bhagavad Gita, Vireshta Savar, Aham Eva Vedya. From the honeybee, an intelligent human being should learn to take the essence or nectar of all knowledge. A honeybee does not waste its time trying to carry away an entire bush or garden, but rather takes the essential nectar. And so this is a good lesson. We may thus study the difference between the honeybee and the ass, who carries heavy loads. Education does not mean to become an intellectual ass, carrying heavy loads of useless knowledge. Rather, one should accept the essential knowledge that leads to an eternal life of bliss and understanding. So this writer of our purport was going to the college, so he must have been seeing different intellectual asses at his college, carrying huge amounts of luggage, knowledge, useless knowledge. Now, a very interesting comment by Satyaraj again on this point, how you should take the essence of the scriptures. And he says, the Saragrahi Vaishnava looks for the essence. Saragrahi, that means one who accepts the essence. He is universal in his thinking and non-sectarian in his approach. So this was Prabhupada. He had universal. He was non-sectarian, universal. Religion is like a human being. The body of religion refers to its external principles, its customs, rituals, and dogma. People who emphasize this aspect think in terms of us and them, and are the cause of religious fights. The soul of religion is embraced by the mystics, the saints, who see harmony in all spiritual truth. I thought that was a very beautiful comment by Satyaraj. Yes. So we have to have that. Like my brother, he wrote to me on the internet, and he was saying, what are you going to do? So I heard you're traveling and preaching. What happens if you meet a Muslim? Are you going to tell them that they're wrong? He said that to me, my brother. I said, well, you know, we take the essence of all the great religions, that is to love God and know Him. And so we look for this essence, this essential truth in all the religions. And we do not have a fight with anybody's religion, but if somebody is calling himself as Muslim, Hindu, Christian, but they are not following the teachings of their master, then we object. That's what I wrote to him. I mean, he's having this huge, long conversation. Finally, after I said that, then he withdrew his comment. And then the next thing I know, he writes, oh, I'm going to give in charity. to somebody, some poor people. He thought, you know, well, that's him following his religion. So, anyway, yes, we try to find the essence of all religions, and that we preach. So that's a lesson from the bee. One lesson is to take the essence, the nectar. You don't take the whole garden. And the other lesson is to madhukari. So two lessons. Now, lesson number three from the bee. Saintly person should not think, this food I will keep to eat tonight, and this other food I can save for tomorrow. In other words, a saintly person should not store food acquired by begging. Rather, he should use his own hands as his plate and eat whatever fits on them. His only storage container should be his belly, and whatever conveniently fits into his belly should be his stock of food. Thus, one should not imitate the greedy honeybee who eagerly collects more and more honey. And so I would say also that this is hands. Collecting, you collect with your hands. It says your hands should be your plate. Purport, there are two types of honeybees, those who collect nectar from the flowers and those who actually manufacture honey in the beehive. This verse refers to the second class. The greedy honeybee eventually collects so much honey that he's trapped in his hive. So that, you see, when they take the hives out, and you see there's bees stuck in there.
Inside.
Yeah. And in the same way, a materialistic person becomes trapped under the burden of unnecessary material accumulation, and he can't get out. One who is interested in making spiritual progress should avoid such a situation. However, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur points out that for the purpose of spreading Krishna consciousness, one may accumulate an unlimited amount of material opulence. This is called yukta vairagya, or using everything in the service of Krishna. A saintly person who is unable to work in Lord Chaitanya's mission should practice austerities and collect only what he can hold in his hands and belly. However, one who has given his life to Krishna may collect unlimitedly on Lord Krishna's behalf. In fact, without acquiring material opulence, how is it possible to spread the Krishna conscious movement all over the world? But if one tries to personally enjoy the funds or facilities acquired for the missionary activities of the Krishna conscious movement, he commits the greatest offense. Therefore, even in the name of Lord Krishna, one should collect only what he can immediately engage in practical devotional service. Otherwise, one will fall down to the platform of ordinary greediness. And if you overcollect, the government will take it. So many things will happen. That has happened in our movement, that they overcollect and then the government takes it. They say, you know, why you have so much money? And somebody will take it. If they see you have a lot of money, then it will definitely be taken by somebody. Yes? Immediately spend, yes. That's the Brahman. So Vishwanath Chakravarti comments, he should not collect food thinking, I'll eat this tonight or tomorrow. What to speak of thinking of food from the previous day, the previous month, or previous full moon. One should not make plans for food one sees, and one should also not accept invitations for the evening or next day, according to some authorities. It's pretty heavy. Ajagara vritti. Now, Shibhaktisiddhanta... Oh, yeah. Now, Satyaraj comments on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. One should be bold in pursuance of one's... Well, he quotes, one should be bold in pursuance of one's spiritual life, accumulating whatever one needs without worry of material attachment. Everything, even material amenities, can be used in a spiritual way, thus divesting it of its negative influence. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had a speedboat, which he would go and preach to the rich people who lived on the coast. Yeah, as far as I remember, I heard that story. He had a speedboat. So this was Bhaktis Yukta Vairagya. Now, verse 12, we're on the same line. A saintly mendicant should not even collect food to eat later in the same day or the next day. If he disregards this injunction and, like the honeybee, collects more and more delicious food, that which he has collected will indeed ruin him. Purport. Bhramara refers to that honeybee who wanders about from flower to flower, and Makshika is the honeybee who accumulates more and more honey in the beehive with great attachment. The saintly mendicant should be like the Bhramara bee, because if he imitates the Makshika bee, his spiritual consciousness will be ruined. This point is so important, it is repeated in this verse. So Vishwanath Chakravarti says, if he hoards food, what happens? In this verse it is explained. Now, I have an interesting comment by Bhakti Vikas Maharaj from Brahmacharya in Krishna Consciousness. So all the Brahmacharis can listen. Bringing prasad into the Brahmachari ashram invites ants, cockroaches, and mice. And stashing prasad is against the pure devotional principles. And he quotes this verse. So in his Brahmacharya for Krishna Consciousness, Brahmachari should not stash prasad in the Brahmachari ashram.
Stash means
hoard or hide. Yeah. Yeah, stash means you keep for, you know, the day when you're hungry, so you don't get your prasad enough. Yes. No stashing. Stash means to hoard or to secretly keep. Mm-hmm. But in India, the ants will find it for sure. You may try to keep it secret from everyone, but the ants will know where it is.
Ants and mice.
And mice. Cockroaches. Yes, cockroaches. Yes, all three are all-pervading in India. The ants, the cockroaches, and the mice are all-pervading. And in the winter, they especially like to come in, away from the cold. So we've learned many lessons from the bee, and we will ask again later. Now the elephant, you can add on your flip chart, I forgot to put elephant, captured by touch. A saintly person should never touch a young girl. In fact, you should not even let his foot touch a wooden doll in the shape of a woman. By bodily contact with a woman, he'll surely be captured by illusion, just as the elephant is captured by the she-elephant due to his desire to touch her body. So Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. This is a trick for capturing wild elephants. And he says an interesting comment. The madness of the elephant is compared to the arrow of Cupid. The maddened elephants are attached to enjoying association of female elephants, but intelligent devotees should adopt a mood contrary to this. Okay. So that is our wise wisdom from Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta. Don't be like the mad elephant. And Satyaraj Prabhu comments from Nectar of Instruction. There is a straight line between the tongue, belly, and genitals. Therefore, if one eats whatever he pleases, whenever he pleases, it leads to sexual desire. So he sees a connection between the greedy bee and the bee who eats everything and anything and this elephant. Verse 14 again. A man possessing intelligent discrimination should not, under any circumstance, try to exploit the beautiful form of a woman for his sense gratification. Just as an elephant trying to enjoy a she-elephant is killed by other bull elephants also enjoying her company, one trying to enjoy a lady's company can at any moment be killed by her other lovers who are stronger than he. And next we go back to the bee again, the greedy bee. Verse 15. A greedy person accumulates a large quantity of money with great struggle and pain, but the person who has struggled so much to acquire this wealth is not always allowed to enjoy it himself or give it in charity to others. The greedy man is like the bee who struggles to produce a large quantity of honey, which is then stolen by a man who will enjoy it personally or sell it to others. No matter how carefully one hides his hard-earned wealth or tries to protect it, there are those who are expert in detecting the whereabouts of valuable things, and they will steal it. Purport in the middle. Furthermore, there are so-called investment counselors, and now he's giving examples from our world today, who are expert in stealing the money of rich people. And in the modern age, governments have also become expert in stealing money by taxation. Thus the word Arthavid indicates one who by hook or by crook is expert in stealing the hard-earned wealth of other people. And yes, in America they have a sliding scale. The more you make, the more the government takes from you. If you make If you're like under the poverty line, they'll take 25% for tax, plus another for tax and for Social Security. And then if you make a little more, then they'll take 30, then 40, 50. It goes up to 90, but the rich people know how to get out of it. It's their 90% of their wealth is supposed to be taxed, but they put it in these trusts and charities and all these things, and so they get out. They know how to. They know the loopholes. So they don't really... They escape, actually. They escape that. Well, the greedy bee. So purport. The word, yes, the bees work frantically to produce honey, but they will not enjoy their honey. As Lord Krishna states, Mrityu Sarvaharas Chaham. I will come as death personified and steal everything. Somehow or other, one's hard-earned material opulence will be stolen, and therefore, as mentioned in this verse, one should not work uselessly like the foolish honeybee. So, Vishnu Chakravarti comments, wealth accumulated without giving or enjoying is taken by others. The beekeeper teaches this. Another person who is stronger enjoys what is collected by another person, just as a person enjoys honey gathered by the bees. How can another person understand one has wealth if one hides it? Some persons understand wealth by certain symptoms in another person and know how to get it. Art of it. The honey collector knows where to get the honey in the hollow of the tree by following the bees. So the lesson of the greedy bee. Verse 16, now the honeybees. Again, just as a hunter takes away the honey laboriously produced by the honeybees, similarly saintly mendicants like brahmacharis and sannyasis are entitled to enjoy the property painstakingly accumulated by householders dedicated to family enjoyment. So one of these people who takes away the money is the brahmacharis and sannyasis, saintly mendicants. Purport, the scriptures say, saintly mendicants in the sannyasa order of life and brahmacharis have first right to enjoy the sumptuous foodstuffs produced by the householders. The householders enjoy such food without first offering them in charity to the mendicants. Such neglectful householders must undergo the lunar fast called Chandrayanam. That's a heavy fast. I think you have to, on Purnima you eat 15 bites, and then on the 14th, 14 bites, then when the waning moon, 13 bites, of Khichdi or whatever, and then it increases again up to the waxing moon. Very heavy fast. Yes. In family life, one must overcome the natural tendency towards selfishness by giving abundant charity. Modern society foolishly does not observe such Vedic injunctions, and as a result, the world has become overrun by envious griha medis, or persons wholly and solely dedicated to personal gratification in family life. Therefore, the whole world is seized in an uncontrollable spasm of violence and suffering. If one wants to live peacefully, one must follow the Vedic injunctions regulating family life. Although householders work very hard to accumulate money, the saintly sannyasis and brahmacharis have the right to first enjoy the fruits of such labor. Conclusion is, one should give first priority to spiritual advancement in Krishna consciousness and thus perfect one's life. Thus, even without personal endeavor, one will be supplied all of one's necessities by the mercy of the personality of Godhead. So, in the fourth canto, 24th verse, verse 64, 424-64, there is a verse, and it describes that the happiness of this creation is like the bee's enjoyment of honey, after it's collected in the honeycomb. So Prabhupada says, human society is exactly like a beehive, for everyone is engaged in collecting honey from various flowers or collecting money from various sources and creating large empires for common enjoyment. However, after these empires are created, the bites of other nations have to be suffered. So we have the beehives, and then the other nations are like bees who come and bite. Sometimes nations declare war upon one another and the human beehives become sources of misery. Although human beings are creating their beehives in order to enjoy the sweetness of their senses, they are at the same time suffering from the bites of other persons or nations. So that is 424-64 purport and verse. And again, 513-10, the force of material enjoyment. Sometimes, in order to have a little insignificant sex enjoyment, one searches after debauched women. In this attempt, one is insulted and chastised by the women's kinsmen. This is like going to take honey from a beehive and being attacked by the bees. Sometimes, after spending lots of money, one may acquire another woman for some extra sense enjoyment. Unfortunately, the object of sense enjoyment, the woman, is taken away or kidnapped by another debauchee. So this is going on.
This is 5:13:10.
Yeah. So the lesson of the bee, the greedy bee. Now the next is the lesson of the deer and the sound. A saintly person dwelling in the forest in the renounced order of life should never listen to songs or music promoting material enjoyment. Rather, a saintly person should carefully study the example of the deer, who is bewildered by the sweet music of the hunter's horn and thus is captured and killed. Next one. Verse 18. Lesson of the monkey. Well, he thought he could just come in and join the class, but no. Excuse us. Being attracted.
Banana?
Oh, is there
banana.
A. Ah!
Banana!
Yes, he's hoarding his banana. And somebody came to take your banana that you're hoarding. The monkey. It will be taken away by the monkeys. So here's an example of the the monkey. Going to take away your banana that you have so carefully hoarded. We did not see, but the monkey, he knows where to look.
He feels the smell. Follow me.
Becoming attracted. No, we said that. No. Yes. The animals are also giving us experiential learning here. Yes. Becoming attracted, verse 18, to the worldly singing, dancing, and musical entertainment of beautiful women. Even the great sage Rishishringa, son of Mrigi, fell totally under their control, just like a pet animal. He's going to feed the monkey.
And bring the whole family. Uh-oh.
That's not also a good idea. Now we'll have to close the door. Now you have to bring a stick. So, the lesson of sound, verse 17 and 18. Rishishringa, the young son of the sage Mrigi, was intentionally brought up by his father in an atmosphere of complete innocence. Mrigi Rishi thought that if his son were never exposed to the sight of women, he would always remain a perfect brahmachari. But by chance, the inhabitants of the neighboring kingdom who were suffering from a long-term drought received divine advice that rain would return to their kingdom only after the brahmana named Rishishringa stepped foot in it. Therefore, they sent beautiful women to the hermitage of Mrigi to entice Rishishringa and bring him back with them. Since Rishishringa had never even heard about women, he easily fell for their trap. They had a floating, what was it, yeah. If you read it in Mahabharata, there was a floating hermitage they made. Beautiful flowers, and then the women came because he was living on a river, and then they came down the river and got the young boy and took them to their hermitage, and they were teaching him different habits which he had never learned before. He says, "We welcome people in a different way than you do." He was saying, "Please take some fruits," and they were just teaching him other things. So the name Rishishringa indicates the young sage was born with a deer-like horn growing out of his forehead. Actually, according to Mahabharata, he was born of a deer, actually. Yes. If, like the deer, a rishi becomes attracted to sweet musical sounds, promising sense gratification, then like the deer, he is quickly vanquished. A thoughtful person should humbly take instruction from the deer, who is doomed by attraction to musical sense gratification. And now it's all-pervading, that music everywhere. Can't escape because people have loudspeakers. So from the deer we learned the lesson of sound. From the moth, the lesson of form. I think the bee, the lesson of taste, hands, and from the fish, the tongue, and taste. Just as a fish, incited by the desire to enjoy his tongue, is fatally trapped on the fisherman's hook, similarly a foolish person is bewildered by the extremely disturbing urges of the tongue and thus is ruined. So uncontrolled eating. Purport. The fisherman places meaty bait on a sharp hook and easily attracts the unintelligent fish, who is greedy to enjoy its tongue. Similarly, people are mad after gratifying their tongues and lose all discrimination in their eating habits. For momentary gratification, they construct huge slaughterhouses and kill millions of innocent creatures, and by inflicting such atrocious suffering, they prepare a ghastly future for themselves. But even if one only eats the food authorized in Vedas, there is still danger. One may eat too sumptuously, then the artificially stuffed belly will create pressure on the sexual organs. Thus one will fall down into the lower modes of nature and commit sinful activities that lead to the death of one's spiritual life. From the fish, one should carefully learn the real dangers involved in gratifying the tongue. And there is a verse in Antia 6:227. Jiver lalase jay ut iti utitai shishnudara parayana krishna nahi pai. One who is subservient to the tongue and goes here and there, devoted to the genitals and belly, cannot attain Krishna. So verse 20, we are in the same tongue topic. By fasting, learned men quickly bring all of the senses except the tongue under control, because by abstaining from eating, such men are afflicted with an increased desire to gratify the sense of taste. So now we see where our purport writer is. He has been preaching in South America. In South America, there is a saying that when the belly is full, the heart is content. Yes. Thus, one who is eating sumptuously is jolly, and if one is deprived of proper food, one's appetite becomes even more voracious. An intelligent person, however, does not fall under the control of the tongue, but rather tries to make progress in Krishna consciousness. By accepting the remnants of food offered to Valoy, prasadam, one gradually purifies the heart and automatically becomes simple and austere. In this connection, a wonderful comment by Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Thakur, he states, the business of the tongue is to gratify itself with varieties of flavor. But by wandering in the 12 holy forests of Brajmandala, Vrindavan, one can be free from the 12 flavors of material sense gratification. Isn't that a beautiful comment? The flavor, or rasa. Rasa. If you wander on Brajmandala, you'll be free from the 12 material flavors. 5 principal divisions of material relationships are neutral, admiration, servitude, friendship, parental affection, and conjugal love. The 7 subordinate features of material relationships are material humor, astonishment, chivalry, compassion, anger, dread, and ghastliness. Originally, these 12 rasas, or flavors of relationships, are exchanged between the Supreme Personality of God and living entity in the spiritual world. And by wandering in the 12 forests of Vrindavan, one can re-spiritualize the 12 flavors of personal existence. Thus one will become a liberated soul, free from all material desires. If one artificially tries to give up sense gratification, especially that of the tongue, the attempt will be a failure. And in fact, one's desire for sense gratification will increase as a result of artificial deprivation. Only by experiencing real spiritual pleasure in relationship with Krishna can one give up material desires. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, the moth is destroyed by attraction to form. The bee is destroyed by attraction to smell. The elephant is destroyed by attraction to touch. The deer is destroyed by attraction to sound. Fish is destroyed by attraction to taste. It has been said, Kuranga matanga patanga pringa mina hata pancha bireva pancha eka pramari sakatana hanyate yasevate pancha bireva pancha. The deer, elephant, moth, bee, and fish are destroyed by the 5 sense objects. How can an insane person who engages all senses in the 5 sense objects not be destroyed? So they just have one problem. But the human being has all 5 problems. He's destroyed by all 5 of the senses. So, Satyaraj comments, fasting is not criticized because many people in New Age do that now, but one may not necessarily gain the desired result. So this is the point. You may fast, but instead of making you more controlled, it'll make you less controlled. Your tongue will become more voracious. Vaishnavas therefore eat prasadam, thus engaging the tongue in the service of Krishna for its purification, and they actually gain the benefits of fasting. If we remember, there was one quote in a purport previously that said, if you eat Krishna prasad, you gain the benefits of fasting for 6 months. What is it? Something like that. You just eat Krishna prasad. It was a previous purport in 11th canto, but I don't remember where. Somewhere previously. If you just eat prasadam, you will gain the benefit of fasting for 6 months. Ordinary fast. Huh? Oh, you want to know that quote, don't you? It's one of those huge purports in the beginning, but I think it's in your notes, Adi Purush. It's in your notes, so you could find it, actually. And I didn't bring your notes today. It's in your notes, which I didn't bring.
Means Mahaprasada or just Prasad?
Prasad.
1.12.1.
Means 11. What? 1.12.1.
Sorry, 11.12.
11.12.1. Oh, it's coming up.
The result awarded to
Haribo.
Is especially offered in the Kali Yuga.
But not a handful of fried things. A handful of rice. We have to discriminate. Yes. Verse 21, although one may conquer all of the other senses, as long as the tongue is not conquered, cannot be said that one has controlled his senses. So that was 11.12.1 purport. Okay, so that's why I studied it, but we didn't speak it yet, so I got confused. However, if one is able to control the tongue, then one is understood to be in full control of all the senses. Just control the tongue. Only one, and then all your senses will come under control. Purport. By eating, one gives energy and activity to all of the senses, and thus if the tongue is uncontrolled, all the senses will be dragged down to the material platform of existence. Therefore, by all means, one must control the tongue. If one fasts, then all the other senses become weak and lose their potency. The tongue, however, becomes more greedy to taste delicious preparation. And when one finally indulges the tongue, all of the senses quickly go out of control. Therefore, Śrīla Viṣṇu Śaṅkarāti Thakura advises one accept maha prasadam, or remnants of the Lord's food, in a moderate proportion. Since the tongue's function is also to vibrate, one should vibrate the glorious holy name of the Supreme Lord and taste the ecstasy of pure Krishna consciousness, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Rasavarjamasopyasya param dishtvani vartate. Only by the higher taste of Krishna consciousness can one give up the deadly lower taste that keeps one imprisoned in the material bondage.
The quote is from Skanda Purana.
Skanda Purana, okay, the quote of eating prasadam. If you just eat a handful of rice, it's like a fast for 1 month, six months.
Yeah.
6 month fast.
Just a handful of rice, huh?
Yes. Yes.
In Kali Yuga.
Special for us, special concession in Kali Yuga. That, of course, we have a lot of good concessions in Kali Yuga. And the best one is that Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda have come. That is our special concession. Okay. Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati says the same thing. That, a little bit down in the purport, these desires subside when one reestablishes one's blissful relationship with the Lord, who is actually the reservoir of all pleasure. One who is attached to the taste of Krishna consciousness automatically follows all the rules and regulations of religious life due to spontaneous attraction to Vishuddha Sattva, or the mode of pure goodness. Without such spontaneous attraction, one is certainly bewildered by the pushing of the material senses. Even the beginning stage of devotional service, called sadhana bhakti, is so powerful it brings one to the platform of anartha nivritti, where one becomes free from unwanted sinful habits and gains relief from the pressure of the tongue, belly, and genitals. Thus one is delivered from the bondage of material addiction, can no longer be cheated by the allurements as of the material energy. So then he quotes the Sharya Avijajal prayer, which you all know, so we won't do it because As soon as we chant that prayer, then our tongue is going to think, oh, it's time to eat. So we won't do it. I was, but then I thought twice now about it. You won't chant Shri Vijaya. Okay. Now, here's a nice comment again by Satyaraj Prabhu. By using the senses in the service of Krishna, beginning with the tongue, the body becomes a temple of the Lord, with each of the senses illumined with knowledge. Satyaraj, verse 21. Isn't that beautiful? A very nice comment. Yes, a temple. If you use your senses for Krishna, your body becomes a temple. So now we're going to hear the rest of the verses are going to be about Pingala, and the lesson will be detachment and how material desires are the cause of distress. Verse 22, O son of kings, previously in the city of Videha there dwelt a prostitute named Pingala. Now please hear what I have learned from that lady. 23, once that prostitute, desiring to bring a lover into her house, stood outside in the doorway at night, showing her beautiful form. 24, O best among men, this prostitute was very anxious to get money, and as she stood on the street at night, she studied all the men who were passing by, thinking, oh, this one surely has money. I know he can pay the price, and I'm sure he would enjoy my company very much. Thus she thought about all the men on the street. As the prostitute Pingala stood in the doorway, many men came and went, walking by her house. Her only means of sustenance was prostitution, and therefore she anxiously thought, maybe this one who is coming now is very rich. Oh, he's not stopping. But I am sure someone else will come. Surely this man who's coming now will want to pay me for my love, and he'll probably give lots of money. Thus, with vain hope, she remained leaning against the doorway, unable to finish her business and go to sleep. Out of anxiety, she would sometimes walk out toward the street, and sometimes she went back into her house. In this way, the midnight hour gradually arrived. As the night wore on, the prostitute, who intensely desired money, gradually became morose, and her face dried up. Thus, being filled with anxiety for money and most disappointed, she began to feel a great detachment from her situation, and happiness arose in her mind. Purport. It appears from these verses that on this particular night, the prostitute Pingala was not at all successful in attracting customers to her house. Being completely frustrated and disappointed, she gradually became indifferent to her situation. Thus, great suffering sometimes leads one to the path of enlightenment. Or, according to a Sanskrit proverb, disappointment gives rise to the greatest satisfaction. The prostitute had dedicated her life to satisfying the lusty desires of many men. Engaging her mind, body, and words in service of paying lovers, she completely forgot devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus her mind was most unsteady and disturbed. Finally, being completely frustrated, her face and throat drying up, she began to feel indifferent to her situation, and happiness arose in her mind. So frustration, disappointment, and finally indifference, and then happiness. This was the process. 28. The prostitute felt disgusted with her material situation and thus became indifferent to it. Indeed, detachment acts like a sword cutting to pieces the binding network of material hopes and desires. Now, please hear for me the song sung by the prostitute in that situation. So here's another Gita within a Gita. Within our Uddhava Gita, we have our first other Gita. Purport. The network of material desires is created when one falsely thinks he can establish himself permanently in the material world. This binding network should be cut by the sword of detachment. Otherwise, one will be forced to wander in the illusory network of Maya with no understanding of liberated life on the spiritual platform. Vishwanath says, Shinu yata mama means hear from me as it is. Detachment is the sword for cutting the ropes produced by hopes for material enjoyment. 29. O King, just as a human being who is bereft of spiritual knowledge never desires to give up his false sense of proprietorship over many material things, similarly, a person who has not developed detachment never desires to give up the bondage of the material body. 30. The prostitute, Pingala, said, just see how greatly illusioned I am. Because I cannot control my mind, just like a fool, I desire lusty pleasure from an insignificant man. Paragraph 2 of the purport. It appears from this verse the prostitute Pingalo is not only earning her livelihood through prostitution, but is actually enjoying her illicit contact with innumerable men. The words kanta and asata indicate she was freely selling herself without discrimination to the most ordinary and useless men, considering them to be lovers, quote, unquote. Thus she says, I was a great fool. The word Bali Sha means one who has a childish mentality without practical experience of right and wrong. 31. I am such a fool. I have given up the service of that person who, being eternally situated within my heart, is actually most dear to me. That most dear one is the Lord of the universe, who is the bestower of real love and happiness and the source of all prosperity. Although he is in my own heart, I have completely neglected him. Instead, I have ignorantly served insignificant men who can never satisfy my real desires and who have simply brought me unhappiness, fear, anxiety, lamentation, and illusion. So she really has got realization. In the purport, Pringle laments she chose to serve most sinful, useless men. She falsely thought they would bring her happiness and neglected to serve the actual Lord of the heart, Krishna. She could understand how foolishly she had struggled for money, not knowing the Supreme Lord is always inclined to award prosperity to his sincere devotee. The prostitute was proud of her ability to please men, but now she laments she did not try to please the Supreme Lord by loving service. The Supreme Lord is completely aloof from the transactions of the material world. Lord Krishna is the actual enjoyer of everyone and everything, but one must learn how to please the Lord by pure spiritual service. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti comments, some authorities say she thought in this way by the great mercy of Dattatreya, who happened to rest in her yard that night. So, Dattatreya, he's learned from Pingala, so he actually went there. And he learned, he observed when he went there what was happening to her the whole night. And we will hear more comments about Dattatreya coming. Verse 32, oh, how I have uselessly tortured my own soul. I have sold my body to lusty, greedy men who are themselves objects of pity. Thus, practicing the most abominable profession of a prostitute, I hope to get money and sex pleasure. Purport, the art of prostitution is based on awakening the enjoying propensity in men. Apparently, this prostitute was so foolish she'd maintained a romantic conception of her profession, and was actually trying to enjoy loving affairs with her customers, not realizing they were the lowest of men with the most abominable motives. Like the prostitute Pingala, one should understand that by giving up the devotional service of the Lord, one simply becomes a victim of the illusory energy and suffers greatly. So verse 33, now she's going to become very philosophical. This material body is like a house in which I, the soul, am living. The bones forming my spine, ribs, arms, and legs are like the beams, cross beams, and pillars of the house. And the whole structure, which is full of stool and urine, is covered by skin, hair, and nails. The nine doors leading into this body are constantly excreting foul substances. Besides me, what woman could be so foolish as to devote herself to this material body, thinking that she might find pleasure and love in this contraption? So this Satyaraj remembers Paranjan and the City of Nine Gates of Canto 4. This analogy does certainly remind us of that analogy in 4th Canto. 34, certainly in this city of Videha, I alone am completely foolish. I neglected the Supreme Personality of Godhead who awards us everything, even our original spiritual form, and instead I desire to enjoy sense gratification with many men. 35. The Supreme Personality of God is absolutely the most dear one for all living beings because he is everyone's well-wisher and Lord. He is the Supreme Soul situated in everyone's heart. Therefore, I will now pay the price of complete surrender, and thus purchasing the Lord, I will enjoy with him, just like Lakshmi Devi. So, quote by Jiva Goswami, he quotes this verse, and he says that in Ragamika Bhakti comes the manifestation of Ruchi. So he's saying that she's actually manifesting Ruchi. This is described in this verse of Bhagavatam 35. Thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as her friend and well-wisher, in this verse, Pingala desires to attain him as her husband. That is the meaning here. In the Chandoka Parishishta, it is said, following a vow chanting Charu mantras, a girl attains oneness with her desired husband. And Jiva Goswami comments, the oneness mentioned here is artificial, not real, as a girl may thus purchase an ordinary husband in the same way by full self-surrender. One may purchase the Supreme Personality of God as one's husband and enjoy with him as Lakshmi Devi enjoys with her handsome husband. In this way is shown Pingala's attraction, ruchi, to the Lord. So he says this is an example of ruchi. Yeah, he said, in ragatmika bhakti comes the manifestation of ruchi. That's what he says.
So she manifested ragatmika bhakti.
Well, not that. Anyway, she manifested some. This verse explains, it's not that she did, but the verse explains that, is what he says. Of course, later on he says she actually did. So verse 36, by the association of Dattatreya, anything's possible. Yeah, we'll hear more about that. We'll hear more. Yeah. Men provide sense gratification for women, verse 36. But these men and even the demigods in heaven have a beginning and an end. They're all temporary creations who will be dragged away by time. Therefore, how much actual pleasure or happiness could any of them ever give to their wives? Verse 37. Although I most stubbornly hope to enjoy the material world, some or other detachment has arisen in my heart, and it is making me very happy. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu must be pleased with me. Without even knowing it, I must have performed some activity satisfying to him. I think it's very interesting that in all the 24 gurus, only this one mentions Vishnu. So it's actually a Krishna conscious guru here. Krishna conscious, they're remembering Krishna, remembering Vishnu. So Vishwanath comments, discerning in this way, she glorifies her good fortune, and she's talking to Dattatreya. Oh, best of detached persons, today make my yard successful by your mercy. Come here and rest, eat and drink. Having addressed Dattatreya, who had arrived on his own, she began to clean and decorate the place at night. This is the explanation of some authorities. That is from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comment, and I'll read some more comments. And here he actually, here in this book also. Some learned authorities have said that when Dattatreya happened to come to Pingala's house, she said to him, O foremost sage, what have I done to have the good fortune of seeing you? Today you have mercifully blessed my house. Please come in, have some food and water, and then rest a while. Indeed, Pingala even cleansed her courtyard when Dattatreya arrived there out of his own sweet will. Now, Shabakti Siddhanta Saraswati quotes a verse from 11:23:28. Nunam me bhagavan stushta sarvadeva mayo hari yenanita jashameta nirvedas chat manaplava. Supreme Lord Hari, who is the Lord of Lords, must have been pleased with me because by his mercy I've developed this mood of detachment, which is the means for my deliverance from the ocean of material existence. So by the association of Dattatreya, it appears Pingala has become Krishna conscious, and she has gotten detachment and ruchi. They come simultaneously for one who is engaged in eating, as we heard that verse. So we'll go to verse 38. A person who has developed detachment can give up the bondage of material society, friendship, and love, and a person who undergoes great suffering gradually becomes, out of hopelessness, detached and indifferent to the material world. Thus, due to my great suffering, such detachment awoke in my heart. Yet how could I have undergone such merciful suffering if I were actually unfortunate? Therefore, I am in fact fortunate and have received the mercy of the Lord. He must somehow or other be pleased with me. So she's seeing it as the Lord's mercy that she suffered and nobody came. With devotion, I accept the great benefit that the Lord has bestowed upon me. Having given up my sinful desires for ordinary sense gratification, I now take shelter of Him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Adhisharam. I am now completely satisfied and I have full faith in the Lord's mercy. Therefore, I will maintain myself with whatever comes of its own accord. I shall enjoy life with only the Lord, because He is the real source of love and happiness. Shivaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, one never commits any sin or offense if he utilizes all material objects in the service of Lord Krishna and accepts whatever comes of its own accord for his maintenance. Desire for material enjoyment arises as soon as there is an abundance of the propensity to render... absence, sorry. I'll say that again. Desire for material enjoyment arises as soon as there is an absence of the propensity to render loving service to the Supreme Lord. So you get the desire. As soon as you don't want to serve Krishna, the desire to enjoy comes. And Jiva Goswami also comments. Now, with verse 40, he says, this is the activities of Raganuga Bhakti. So spontaneous attraction to the Lord. I will enjoy. He is the real source of love and happiness. So he analyzes the verse. In my mind, Atmana, I will enjoy Viharami with him, Amuna, my affectionate lover. The mind is mentioned here because the mind is most important, the path of attraction, Ruchi, to the Lord. Because she did not have the spiritual form of a beloved of the Lord, Pingala engaged her mind in meditating on the Lord in this way. So that was the lesson that Jiva Goswami also tells us. Verse 41. The intelligence of the living entity is stolen away by activities of sense gratification, and thus he falls into the dark well of material existence. Within that well, he is then seized by the deadly serpent of time. Who else but the Supreme Personality of Godhead could save the poor living entity from such a hopeless condition? So every verse she's mentioning the Lord, Adishwara. Verse 42. When the living entity sees that the entire universe has been seized by the serpent of time, he becomes sober and sane, and at that time detaches himself from all material sense gratification. In that condition, the living entity is qualified to be his own protector. So when we see, when we have that realization, then we become qualified to be our own guru, our own protector. Purport. In this verse, Pingala states that by the Lord's mercy, a self-realized soul can see that the entire universe is existing within the jaws of the great serpent of time. Certainly, this is not a promising situation, and one who sees it loses his desire for sense gratification. Thus, by the Lord's causeless mercy, a spiritually sane living entity can protect himself from illusion. Yeah, so the illusion is that this place is a permanent place, and I will not die, and I will enjoy here, and it will be a happy place for me to be. So if you see the serpent of time there, then how can you be happy? How can you enjoy? How can you enjoy the world? Since Pingala is now glorifying Personality of Godhead for his mercy in awarding salvation, the following question might arise. Is she worshipping the Lord out of love, or is she merely a salvationist desiring liberation from material existence? In answer, it may be said that in her Krishna conscious situation, she is already liberated, even though remaining in this world. Whoa. Mm. So this purport is saying Pingala is a Jivan Mukta. Her program will now be simply to render loving service to the Personality of Godhead without any personal desire, including that of salvation. Verse 43, the Avadhuta said, thus, her mind completely made up, Pingala cut off all her sinful desires to enjoy sex pleasure with lovers, and she became situated in perfect peace. Then she sat down on her bed. 44. Material desire is undoubtedly the cause of the greatest unhappiness, and freedom from such desire is the cause of the greatest happiness. Therefore, completely cutting off her desire to enjoy so-called lovers, Pingala very happily went to sleep. So, we'll read the comment by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Sense enjoyers are always disturbed in this world of so-called enjoyment, hiding somewhere nearby the path of renunciation. The threefold material miseries inspire careless transcendentalists to become enjoyers of perishable material objects whenever they get the slightest opportunity. The sinful desire for attaining fame, even while tied by the ropes of desires for material enjoyment, sometimes induces the conditioned souls to become servants of Ravana, Kamsa, Jarasandha, Agha, Baka, or Putana. So this is what happens if we have material desires, then we become the servants of these demons. Because the demons are in our heart. And they are telling us, you go here, you enjoy this, you do that. The demons of Putana, Agasura, Bakasura, they are all demons in the heart of the transcendentalist. So, yes. If the conditioned soul turns off the temporary lamp of material desires and becomes attached to the lotus feet of inhabitants of Braj, then all auspiciousness will be within their grasp. Pseudo-renunciation makes the living entity very proud. On the other hand, proper renunciation places living entities on the platform of pure goodness or transcendence. Until the lamp of material desires turned off, a devotee's desire for service of the lotus feet of Sri Radha cannot materialize. And then he quotes a verse about Radharani. Asha pararam mita sindhu mayai katanche kala mayati kamita kilasam patam hi tam che kripam mayi vita sasinai vakim me pranair vajena chavarod bakarinapi. O beautiful Radhe, I'm passing my days and nights in torment with a singular hope that I may obtain the ocean of immortal nectar. So kindly shower your grace upon me. Deprived of your mercy, of what use are my life, residence in Braj, or even servitorship to Krishna, the enemy of Bakasura? So here is the desire of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati to become servant of Radharani. And then he says one last sentence. Srila Gaurasundar has taught us that the mood of separation is the best process for relishing the mellows of ecstatic love of Krishna. Yes. So questions or comments on this 8th chapter of 24, Guru's
Story of Pingala?
Any questions or comments? And if not, we'll review what we learned today from these gurus. Here it is. So the first, we already reviewed the first class. So the first thing we had, the moth, the lesson of the moth, is a lesson of?
Form.
The honeybee, so many lessons. Yeah. Okay, what's one lesson of the honeybee?
Yeah, there are two
kinds of bees. Brahmara and Makshika.
Essence
of all scriptures. Okay. Madhukari and also the essence of all Saragrahi, Vaishnava. Okay, what other lesson do we learn from the bee? Yes. Do not accumulate wealth, including bananas. Yes, so he gave his banana away. He learned the lesson. And he gave his banana in charity to the monkeys. Yes.
Collected wealth.
Yes, wealth should be immediately spent in the service of Krishna. And don't collect food, wealth. And if you collect food, the ants, the mice, and the cockroaches will come. Okay, what do we learn from the deer?
And you'll also be caught by over-collection.
You'll be caught, yes. Like the bee in the hive. It gets trapped in its own hive. So if you over-collect, you will, especially if you have to move somewhere from the place where you're staying, then you find out, oh my God, how much you collect in, if you stay in a place for some years. And when the lotus closes, if you're trying to eat, if you find one flower that's especially nice, then you might get trapped in that flower. So don't eat at sannyasis and brahmacharis should not just find one house that's good to eat at. Yes. Yes. Very, very difficult to remain detached if you are a collector. Okay, what do we learn from the deer? Sound. The fish.
Taste.
Pingala.
Best happiness.
The worst frustration is the highest happiness.
It's quoted by the gopis.
Oh, did they quote Pingala?
They say Pingala.
So the gopis have quoted Pingala. that frustration leads to the highest happiness. Very good. 10:47:47. Okay, they quoted another verse. Yeah, so in Jiva Goswami says this is very high, ruchi. Yes. Gopis. What is it, 10? 47:47. That is the the song of the bumblebee. Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Well, she actually worshipped. She worshipped the incarnation of the Lord, Dattatreya. She worshipped him. Well, that's how she felt. She felt that, you know, somehow the Lord is merciful to me, otherwise why would he come? Why will this detachment come in my heart? Well, there are many verses in Bhagavatam which we can quote. Tulayama lavenapi nasvarga na punar bhavam. Bhagavat sanghi sangasya martyanam kim utashisha. What is the value of a second association of a devotee?
Yes.
It is more valuable than heavenly planets or anything. So she got that second, more than a second association with a pure, with not only pure devotee, it was Supreme Lord also. So imagine if Dattatreya walked into your house, then perhaps you would also get detached, because he's actually teaches detachment. Yeah. He's sannyas. Yeah. He's teaching that. That's his teaching. And she served him, so she got his association, and he is the embodiment of detachment. He came there because he needed another. She was one of the 24 gurus, so he came to learn from her. What's that? Any other story?
Is there a story about Pingala before
Pingala? Any story about Pingala before she's Pingala? Do we hear anything about her previous life? I don't know. Of course, you can look up somewhere. Yeah, that's true. She had a soft heart. She wanted to enjoy loving relationships and she wanted to serve. So then she just switched it to Krishna. The same idea, but just switched. She didn't change her personality, her personality was like that, right? That's a very good point. She just now engaged her personality in the service of Krishna. The same personality. Okay, let me hear.
Yeah.
Well, it's an example of using your personality, your acquired nature, in the service of Krishna. Just association with the pure, with association of the Lord. Okay, did you find anything about Pingala? No. Okay. Go on the internet and Google. Find out from our greatest authority in the modern age. Google. There's an article in the BTG by, I think, Radhika Raman. Did he give a class?
Mm-hmm.
About Google or God? Who is God? Is Google God? Because in his, he was teaching in university and the students were saying, someone was saying, yes, Google is God, much more than God. Because he's omniscient, he knows all the languages, and any information you want, you can get from him. They had a debate. I think I mentioned this before.
Googlegod.com? Something like that. There's,
yeah.
A whole movement.
There's a movement that Google is God. But if you take out the plug, then... then where is Google? Huh? Yeah, send that argument. What if you take out the plug? Wireless. But even wireless needs electricity, right? Somewhere at the origin. Even wireless needs a plug, right?
Well, the thing is, without the computer, you can't have access to computer.
Right.
Yeah. So he's not supremely independent.
Right, he's not independent of the computer.
Some people don't have access to that.
Yeah, right. The faithless. The faithless do not get computers. It's funny, yeah. And people, they write their thesis, and they don't, you know, they quote Google now, you know, instead of going to the library and having books. It's like that, you know. It's accepted, no? Google.
You just have to give the
yeah. All right. Haribol, all glories to Shri Prabhupada.